welcome to my podcast. So today's episode is about video editing, specifically LumaFusion, which started life as an iOS app. It was an alternative to iMovie that gave you more capability than iMovie gives you, something that came out to fill the hole that was left by the fact that no Final Cut Pro ever came out for iOS. It became popular enough over time that this year, or was it the end of last year, LumaFusion finally came out for Android, and more importantly to this specific situation, Chrome OS. So this is something I'd been excited to try, because over time, Chrome OS has filled in the gaps of what it's missing. The last big pieces are competent editors, media editors, and gaming. They filled the gap for gaming with Steam for Chrome OS, which is something that I released a video on recently using LumaFusion for Chrome OS to edit. And my adventure in doing so was a little bit of an adventure. Like, I just put the video up, I just had this experience, and so I'd like to talk about LumaFusion for Chrome OS. So where this starts is that my default Android video editor is PowerDirector for Android, which is a really mature Android application and one of my default applications on any new Android device. I always install PowerDirector, but a few years ago it moved to a subscription model, which is bullcrap. I hate it. It's what prosumer applications do. It's how they can continue to make money and can continue to support themselves, but I hate it. But I paid the subscription because I use PowerDirector for more than its intended purpose. I use it all the time, actually. But the Chromebook that I use is an Intel-based Chromebook. And so, even though it supports Android applications, not everything is optimized for x86, even though x86 at the i5, i7, even i3 level is more powerful than, on the CPU side, than most Android SoCs, most ARM chips. The optimization is just not there for something like PowerDirector, so it can't do all the things on this i5 Chromebook that it can do on even like a less powerful ARM SoC. So when LumaFusion came out, I was excited. I was really excited to see it in action, to use it, to see what it could do. But when I touched it, it was unintuitive. It doesn't work the same way that PowerDirector does, which PowerDirector has a lot of presets that you can just throw in there to do really cool things. And it's a very traditional timeline-based media editor. And so is LumaFusion, but it's just different. It's just different. It does things differently. It has a different paradigm for interacting with the media on your timeline, and I didn't feel like learning how to use it until now. So in use, in LumaFusion on Chrome OS, I ran into some interesting things. The biggest pain that I ran into is the fact that the Chrome OS version, at least, you know, not just the Chrome OS version, because part of this story is exporting the project to another device to import it into LumaFusion on that other device. LumaFusion on Android, because on Chrome OS it's running in an... it's not an emulation, it actually is a version of Android running inside of Chrome OS. It does not support all the kinds of media that other editors support, so it doesn't support .mov files, which are files from... video files from the iPhone. Does not support MOV files, which is weird because the encoding is the same as a regular MP4 file, but yeah, it doesn't support .mov files, and there's no way to import codecs on these mobile operating systems, so you're just left out in the cold. And it was weird because there were smaller MOV files on that timeline that it processed pretty well, but most of the MOV files, it scrubbed out, it broke, and so it wouldn't render. And in that situation, my assumption was that it was the x86 version of LumaFusion that was breaking the, that didn't support the MOV files. So I went through the trouble, because I knew that I could do this, of exporting the project and then importing it on my phone after I'd composed my timeline. And the actual process of crafting the timeline was, once I got a handle on how to do it, was pretty straightforward, and it worked pretty well on Chrome OS. So after I'd edited it all together and crafted my project, and it failed to render a couple times, I exported the entire project and imported it on my phone. And then I ran into the issue where this one was on me. I imported it and I rendered it, And then I deleted the whole project from the phone, and I had deleted the project from the Chromebook as well. And then I deleted the folder that the project existed in, which is where I exported or where I rendered the final product. And so I lost everything. Fortunately, the exported project was on an external source rather than anything else. So I was able to find it and try again. It opened the project. It scrubbed out most of the MOV files, but when it did that, it scrubbed everything else that was in that section of timeline, so all the overlays and titles and stuff. So it actually cleanly scrubbed out the stuff, which is nice. It's pretty smart. I was impressed by that. So it wasn't a lot of work once I got the project re-imported, but I couldn't figure out how to import it again after I deleted everything. That was fun. And what I had to do was open the exported archive from the file manager so that it would open in LumaFusion, because I couldn't get it to import inside of LumaFusion, but it wouldn't do it inside of the native file manager. It wouldn't associate that that archive type to anything. So I had to use a third-party file manager to select the file, and then the third-party file manager allowed me to choose what app I was using to export the file. Chose LumaFusion, exported again. I think that's probably what I did the first time, but I couldn't remember because I was tired when I did it, and that worked. It rendered very quickly on the phone, much more quickly than it does on the x86 Intel Chromebook. That is not correct. The app is in beta, so that's not really a thing. Like, you get what you pay for. I paid for it. I think it was $20 because it's in beta. Well worth it once I get a hold on it. I just know that I will not be using files from the iPhone in this particular SKU of the app. But once I got it imported again, it rendered very well. Mostly satisfied with the product. It's actually, the results were good. So it doesn't have as many automated functions, as many automated bells and whistles, and it's not as intuitive as PowerDirector is. But I think that all the features that I'm used to using, all the keyframing and green screen stuff, all that is in LumaFusion somewhere. Like, I've just looked it up. I haven't practiced using any of those functionality, but I see that that functionality is there, so I'm excited to try that stuff out. And the end product came out really well. I was satisfied with it. It offers a lot of options for how to render, way more than PowerDirector does. So this is just a quick episode to say that I had a little adventure with LumaFusion, and I appreciate that it exists, that you can just buy a prosumer application and use it, because professional and prosumer applications are all going the way of licensing that Adobe and Microsoft poison the world with, and I hate that. So, thank you, parent company of LumaFusion, that I'm not sure who you are, but I appreciate that you exist. Cybermetrics needs to get on your level with PowerDirector, because they're not there yet. This is just a quick episode to say that, because I'm not producing as regularly this year as I was, and I'd like to. And all it takes is what I'm interested in, and in this case, this is the thing that I'm interested in this moment. So, as always, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.